Blog Talk Radio.
Sunny day, it's cold outside, I'm indoors, and even if it's cold, you could still talk about ice cream. Yes, as a matter of fact, that's what our topic is, ice cream. It's turned into more than just, you know, like cream and flavor, you know. I don't know, there's all these additives in there, and does it need them? I mean, what are they really? It's not enough just to have, like, ice cream itself. You know, people love it with all this stuff in it. You know, you might as well, like, just take at this point take trail mix, you know, and just mix that with it, some ice cream. But anyway, but there are some ice cream companies that actually don't have additives like carrageenan, gums, like I always wondered about a Goyer gum, stabilizers, processed milk powders, or added colors, you know. Well, one of them is Greenfield Ice Cream, and they're located in upstate New York. Well, the milk there comes from 10 local family-owned farms in the Hudson Valley. Well, how do they do it? I mean, like, how do they get this ice cream to be so good without all this stuff? Well, we got Denise, who's going to tell us how this all works. Denise, how are you?
Hi, Meryl. Very well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, good. Now, so the thing I want to start off with is asking what in the world all these additives are that people need to put into ice cream. What are they actually?
Well, in the case of carrageenan is a processed seaweed. It is natural. It's just seaweed, but they process it into a fine powder and put it in ice cream so that ice cream is easier to make. And as ice cream is, you know, is basically milk, fat, and water, so it wants to separate. So something like a carrageenan, when you hear a stabilizer, what that's doing is making it, the fat molecules and the water molecules bond together so that it's easier for ice cream manufacturers to make a product, and it gives it a smooth, you know, it's kind of a smooth texture. At Greenfield Ice Cream, we don't want to eat all that stuff. Our motto is making it out of ingredients you would actually find in your kitchen. And as far as I know, nobody has carrageenan in their kitchen, or not on purpose.
Right. So how do you get away with not having it? Let's say,
well,
what do you...
Well, ice cream's a frozen product, so, I mean, it doesn't separate on us. You know, we make it and freeze it. It is sometimes more difficult for us to make it without it because... it is harder to ship it at when temperature changes from truck to loading docks, and you know, by the time somebody puts it on the shelf, that can be a problem, so it has to be handled a little more gently. But it's one of those things that you just don't need it in ice cream, so we just don't put it in. And you know, that was kind of really why we started our company, because we, myself and my two partners, we don't cook like that. So we wanted a healthier product and started making it, and it kind of blossomed into this ice cream company. So we just use milk, cream, eggs, and sugar, and we don't need anything else.
Oh, okay. What actually, and what is the purpose of guar gum. That's what I always see, things like that.
Guar gum is the same thing. It uses it. You know, it's usually one or the other. It is used for the exact same purpose, just to stabilize and make the product easier to make and easier to ship and easier to sit on the shelf longer. But as far as we're concerned, if it's good, it's not going to sit on the shelf long anyway, so it's just not something you need. You know, even homemade ice, even people who get small homemade, small ice cream machines, you know, often they come with a powder that it's ice cream starter, you'll see it called. And that's what it is. It just makes the whole thing a little easier to make and a little, you know, less, a little more predictable. So one of the things that helps us.
So you're saying that when people get like the ice cream machines, they're not making it from scratch?
No, they are, if they are, but often you'll see the kit comes with something called ice cream starter. And ice cream starter is carrageenans and stabilizers, that it just makes it easier for even the home ice cream maker. But you absolutely do not need it. One of the things that helps our ice cream is we do put egg yolks in it. So that acts as a stabilizer for us, a natural stabilizer. So, you know, that's one way we get around it. It does cause us, we cannot make certain flavors. Like, we haven't had great luck with fruit flavors, a strawberry ice cream, for example, because there's so much water, you know, in the fruit, so that it does ice up. And in that, a case like that, it would make the problem go away if we used carrageenan or some kind of stabilizer. So we just don't make that flavor, because our philosophy is just simple and pure, and you can really taste a better quality product when it's made without everything. So
now, just for the heck of it, like, okay, because I always see, for instance, I see, you know, contents, and it says cream, milk, then it's skim milk, and then what? How does one decide what portion or what to use with that
Well, in our case, it was really trial and error. What works well in a small, you know, recipe in your home machine doesn't necessarily translate into larger production. So we just worked with the recipes for almost a year, playing with different proportions of the milk and the cream. And sometimes if you use too much cream, you get butter fat. It starts turning to butter. You get little butter bits in your ice cream. So we really had to spend a long time playing with the recipes to get it just right. So in each of our, we don't use any kind of base. So we make our own bases. So each recipe, each flavor has its own special recipe. So we don't have just one general, like a light base and a dark base, and we just throw in whatever the mix-ins are. We have to make a separate one for each flavor. So like chocolate, the natural chocolate acts, you know, behaves differently with the milk and the cream than, say, peanut butter. So so that's how we just worked our way through it.
So let's go through the flavors that you have there. So let's start with, like, for instance, chocolate. Now, what are you using? Do you use cocoa powder? What does one use, like,
we use
when
both.
You're making
we
a
use,
chocolate?
We use, in our particular recipe, we use 60% Ghirardelli chocolate, just like the chocolate chips, and we melt them down. And then we also use cocoa powder, and we use a combination of that. And then the only other ingredients are milk and cream and eggs and sugar in the chocolate. So
if you're melting it down, like, why... why wouldn't I automatically get like chips when they freeze? I'm just curious.
Well,
or is it like when you make chocolate pudding and even chocolate pudding, you're putting in cocoa powder. You're not really putting in.
Well, we melt it to a liquid, you know, melted chocolate, and then pour it in. It just melts in with the cream. When we're making the base, we melt in the chocolate and we use cocoa powder, and it doesn't make chips. It's just like you're making chocolate. I don't know why it doesn't, but it doesn't. So it works perfectly.
Oh,
and then when we
use
our chocolate chips, when we make chocolate chips out of that same chocolate, we the reason it doesn't get turn into big chunks of chocolate that you would bite down and hurt your tooth. We very carefully spread it on top. It's called stracciatelli, and it's an old Italian method. And we smear it across as it touches the cold ice cream. It freezes instantly, and so we get a nice. That's how we make our shavings. You just pour it on and spread it out real quick in a thin layer, and then stir it into the ice cream. So we do it all by hand, slowly, the old-fashioned way, as if you were going to make it at home.
So, just I'm curious. So just for the heck of it, this is just what the thought in my head. Now, suppose if I take, half and half. This is and this may not even work. Suppose I take half and half, put it in the pot, and I add sugar and whatever I'm going to make. Let's say, I don't know. How about coffee? Let's say I do with coffee. Now, I understand. And now I stir it up and whatever kind of thing, and then I let it cool off and I throw in the freezer. It's not going to work, is it?
If you poured coffee, liquid coffee in there?
No, not cold. Suppose if I, not the liquid coffee, because coffee you're going to have. What if you use, let's say, instant coffee? Isn't instant coffee? There's no water in there anymore, right?
Yeah. If you used instant, I don't know actually what would happen. If you used instant coffee, you'd be better off than using, liquid coffee.
Right.
For exactly why you said the water causes problems. You want to have no water in ice cream. If you made your basically a base, you'd need something to thicken it. You couldn't just use just half and half in instant coffee and then.
Okay.
You would need some egg or some cream, something thicker. Some egg yolks would work. And you'd just temper those eggs and cook, gently cook them into the, heat it all up, and then you'd chill it overnight or chill it for some period of time. And then you could probably throw that in a small churner and something very close to ice cream would come out. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
But try it.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I understand that when you're doing coffee, it's not strong, and because you're just basically using coffee beans.
That's right. We make our basically a custard, and then we put in coffee beans, whole coffee beans. And the flavor from those coffee beans comes out just as it does in coffee, but in water. But in our case, it's coming out into the cream base, and that's how we flavor it. And then we strain it all out and pour. It chills over. We heat it up, and then we chill it overnight, and then we strain out those coffee beans and pour it in our churner, and it comes out coffee ice cream. And it is very. It's tastes like a latte, like a creamy coffee drink.
Yeah,
that's
what
kind of how it comes
I found
out.
That it tastes. It's not a strong coffee flavor. What would make
right?
If a company is making a strong coffee flavor, is it because they're using something artificial
I think they're using extracts. Syrupy coffee syrups and extracts to get that flavor. They're not. I don't think anybody does it where they're using whole beans, certainly not on a mass, on a large-scale production.
Right. Well, coffee syrup, I forgot where I had tried that. I went one place and it tasted cold brewed coffee, and there was another that came out with coffee, especially up in Rhode Island. Did you know about in Rhode Island?
Yes. Somebody gave me a bottle of a coffee syrup from Newport, Rhode Island, or somewhere Rhode Island, and it was actually really interesting. We didn't do anything with ice cream with it, but it was just sort of an egg cream kind of thing with it. You make some sort of drink with it. So I was told.
Well, what it is about with Rhode Island, coffee milk is the big thing up there. Even kids, they have kids growing up on coffee milk. So then let me ask you, so when you're using coffee beans, Are you using coffee beans with the caffeine?
Oh yes, absolutely. And I actually think that the caffeine must seep into the ice cream somewhat because it's still there. I mean, it's got to be there, and we're not doing anything drastic, you know, to decaffeinate it. It's just, I'm sure it's in there. We've never actually tested it for that, but my kids eat lots of it, and I've never noticed any problems. So I don't know how much seeps into the ice cream.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. So in other words, it's like, you know, what I'm also thinking about is, like, in terms of chocolate, I'll experiment with this. You know what nibs are, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, if you did that with chocolate nibs, that's not going to work because you can't get, the only way the chocolate flavor actually comes out of it is when you keep grinding it, as opposed to, I haven't tried it. Like if you did the same thing putting in the nibs instead of coffee beans, would you get a chocolate flavored?
Well, I guess that's basically what we do. We're putting in, instead of, in the case of chocolate, we're putting in cocoa powder and chocolate in there, and it's flavoring the cream.
Saying,
but it doesn't. We don't take it out. It stays in.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that in that case, you're putting in the chocolate that's been processed, as opposed to nibs, which is just basically chopped up roasted cocoa beans.
Yeah, without the sugar,
but I'm
right?
Assuming,
there's no sugar in it.
I don't know. I mean, it could be. I'll try it out. I always have nibs in the house because, God forbid, I don't have some chocolate, some form of chocolate.
Right.
You know, that's my worst case scenario. I, you know, chomp on a couple of those. But I don't know that because of in terms of how the cocoa beans are, the only way you're getting the flavor, I think that you're getting the flavor, strong flavor from it, is it has to be ground into the paste and, you know, and the liquor coming out.
Right.
As opposed to coffee beans, you don't have to do that. You could still, you know. Well, I don't know. I'll try it. I'll let you know if it works.
I would love to know. I would
if
love
it
to
works
know.
The nibs, the chocolate nibs. Okay, now let's go on to some of the other flavors. Now, so for instance, now you have a ginger ice cream, right? But with the ginger, and I noticed there's no pieces of ginger in there.
There are
companies, and it's ginger. You could taste the ginger in the flavor, and then there's little pieces of ginger. Is there a particular reason why you don't put the pieces of ginger?
What you're tasting in someone else's ginger ice cream is crystallized ginger, you know, candied ginger. We don't make it like that. Ours is it's just a different style, different way of doing it. We take ginger root, fresh ginger root, chop it up, and mix it in with our custard, and it sits there overnight, and it cooks in the heat, pulls out the flavor of the ginger, and then soaking overnight, and then we strain it all out and pour it in our machine, and it comes out ice cream, and it's a very light, delicious sort of snappy ginger flavor. It's not a sweet candied sort of ginger flavor,
right.
So that's why we just never put it in. We in trying to keep everything as simple as possible. So just a different style. But when you walk into the kitchen on Ginger Day and you smell, it just takes over the whole building. It's absolutely just wonderful, magical smell. So you wouldn't guess ginger and cream would be a good thing, but it really is.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue with, go ahead, name some more flavors.
Cinnamon is another one. It's very similar. We use cinnamon sticks, and we just mix. We don't use extracts or anything. We just take big boxes of cinnamon sticks and mix it into the custard and all that cinnamon. You know, some of it falls off the stalk or the stick and stays in there. But basically, it's just the intense, intense flavor and the oils that are naturally occurring in the cinnamon stick. And they just seep into the milk. And that's how we get our simple flavor. So everything we do...
You don't have to make it into a powder form, you mean?
Nope. We've never just poured powdered cinnamon in. We just use cinnamon stick because some of the flavor also is in the bark, the stick part. And it just comes out. So we try to keep everything just as simple and plain as we can. So our flavors tend to be really classic, simple flavors, you know, without a lot of things mixed into them.
So. Well, how about now, you have one that's a peanut butter and
PB and chip. Butter and chip.
Well, I didn't try that one. But
amazing.
I know. Now I thought about it and I went, yeah, I probably should have requested that one. Are you making your own peanut butter? How are you doing that in terms of the peanut butter?
We do not make our own peanut butter. It's too hard to get the grinding to get it so fine. You need real specialty giant grinders that we don't have. So we buy a natural peanut butter with just peanuts and salt in it and a little bit of sugar, and it has no additives or anything else. And we just make it like that. It's it comes out tasting like just a delicious creamy peanut butter flavor with, again, we do the Stracciatelli method for the chocolate shavings, and
right.
It ends up being peanut butter and chip.
So you've never
instead
tried.
Of chips, it's
I
shavings.
I'll have to see what the. I always go on, you know, trying all kinds of products and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So there's a company. I guess it's called. Maybe it's called Peanut Butter and Company. I'm not sure. That puts out powdered peanut butter. So in other words, there's no oil. They take
uh-huh.
it, I guess they roast it, and they make it into a powdered form. It was quite interesting because...
Yeah,
I
bet it would do interesting things to ice cream because, you know, anytime you can add something, you know, we try not to use anything processed. I'd have to really look at that to see what they're doing to
it.
Yeah,
I'm going to...
I guess if it's dried out and then grind it down.
I can... call the company and have them send it, and you guys can experiment with it.
That'd be fun.
I thought what was interesting about it when I said, okay, let's, you know, try this, and I actually just mixed it with a little water and spread it on bread, and it was like, you know, reconstituted peanut butter. It was like,
and it worked.
Whoa,
it actually
okay.
came out tasty and got to the similar texture?
Yes.
Wow.
And I went,
sounds
whoa.
Like something for the astronauts.
But what I thought was, you know, because what I was curious about is well, because I guess because of however it's processed, I guess there's it's less oils or something. Well, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
I'll get them to send it to you, and you could just experiment to see which, you know, how which I guess if you want to see which comes out, you know, better for
you.
Yeah,
that would be lovely.
Okay, go ahead. What else? Oh, vanilla. Well, vanilla is vanilla.
Vanilla is vanilla, but our vanilla is special. We use the best quality vanilla beans, Madagascar bourbon vanilla beans. We get people all the time thinking we put bourbon in our ice cream, but bourbon is actually the island off Madagascar where the best vanilla beans are grown. So there's actually no alcohol in our vanilla. It's just really good quality vanilla beans. And we strip them open, and we scrape out the paste that's inside those vanilla beans, and that's what gives it its great flavor. So,
yeah, that's kind of the way to do it, huh? The real way to do it. I see on TV when they're using vanilla that they do that as opposed to vanilla extracts.
Right, which are good, too, and they're used. I don't know exactly how you make extracts, but they use alcohol somehow to hold the flavor, and you know, extracts have a great place in the cooking world, but we try to avoid, you know, whenever we can.
Yeah.
And the real vanilla beans give you that, you know, those little seed pods, those little tiny flecks everywhere, and it gives you that, and it just gives a great flavor.
Mm. Okay.
So.
What else do we got? What other flavors we got? What am I missing?
Oh. Let's see. We make a toasted almond. It's amazing.
Oh, toasted almond. Are you using not almond. Are you using any? Well, you're not using almond extract. But are you using? I guess it's like you know, when you have like an almond paste.
No, we don't use a paste. We use real almonds, and we do use a little bit of almond extract in the in there as well.
Oh, okay.
It really. It's one of the
so
ones
can,
that we do. We really brings up the flavor, and so it's, again, same process. We steep the almonds in this, you know, custard, and put a little bit of extract in there, and then we strain it all out, and then we, when we're at the very after we've made it into ice cream, we put in more almonds. You know, you get almonds in every spoonful, so that's
a delicious
flavor.
As opposed to like mixing it with almond milk or whatever. You don't want to do that.
Right. We don't do that. That would be interesting. We just use regular old beautiful cow's milk, so.
Okay, what else we got? I know you got more.
We do have more, and we chocolate vanilla. Oh, we make an amazing chocolate sorbet. It's our only flavor that has no milk in it. It's just thick and rich.
Did you try
that one?
Yes,
yeah.
It's like I went to chocolate heaven.
Yes, it's really, really rich and chocolatey. And for someone who's got any kind of, you know, glucose intolerance or dairy problems, it's just, again, we use the same 60% Ghirardelli chocolate. So it's, you know, it's on the dark side, rich and delicious. And it just has sugar and that's it. Sugar, water, and chocolate makes a beautiful, beautiful sorbet. Very heavy. You can feel it when we lift a case of it. It weighs double what ice cream. It's just so dense.
Oh,
and thick,
yeah, that's
chocolate.
That's another topic I want to talk about, it in terms of weight, because a lot of companies. You could see, you know, it may say a pint, but it doesn't necessarily weigh the same.
Right. Even ours. I mean, for example, you know, definitely the sorbet weighs more than ice cream. Because it's just so thick, you know, thick, and the chocolate weighs so much. But we still use a 16-ounce. A lot of times you'll see a 16-ounce container. A lot of times you'll see what used to be a pint is now 14 ounces. Many ice cream brands have gone to just having a slightly smaller container to save money. So watch out for that.
Yeah, and it's also,
beware.
The other thing is ice cream that has air in it.
Yes. You can add a lot of air to just have volume but not weight, and you're just buying air. So
it would be interesting to see, like, offhand, I'm just thinking about a lot of times I'll see on sale, like, Turkey Hill ice cream, and it's like $3 for a quart, and people rush and get it because it's a quart for only $3, and I keep thinking, well, how much you actually getting. I mean, what people think are getting a whole quart, but
right.
I don't think you're really getting that.
You're not really getting that. What you are getting is a lot of other additives and things besides ice cream. You're getting, you know, the stabilizers that we don't put in. So
even
someday,
though they call
if you want
natural.
To do a test. Yeah, natural just means nothing. There's no definition for what natural is. So if you know, organic, at least, you know, means, you know, pesticide-free and grown a certain way. But natural is just a marketing term that means really nothing. So just buyer beware.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you is in terms of, like, where you're getting the milk. You're getting the milk, I read that, from 10 different farms.
Yep, it's Hudson Valley Fresh is the milk we buy. It's up in Kingston, New York. Hudson Valley Fresh is a co-op for 10 small family farms, dairy farms, and they bring all their milk into Hudson Valley Fresh, and then they bottle it and distribute it out. So it's all beautiful, you know, Hudson Valley milk, and it's just really high quality. These are all grass-fed cows. These are all cows that in the winter when there is no grass or fed hay, all of them are It's not actually organic because these small family farms, it's very, very expensive for them to get the organic stamp of approval. It costs, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to be called organic. But just know that they're all small farms that are doing everything right and feeding their cows the right kind of foods. And it comes out in the quality of the milk. So Hudson Valley Fresh is a great company. I mean, there are other great companies. We're lucky. We live near a dairy area. So there are great dairy, you know, products here around here. But Hudson Valley Fresh is definitely right up there at the top with them. So look for that
milk. I read something about Creamline or something.
Isn't that a scoop shop in the Chelsea Market or?
Well, yeah,
I keep hearing more and more about Creamline.
There is, but then I was very weird because then I went on the internet and looks like there's a dairy farm called Creamline or something. That's why I didn't understand. That's what I was trying to figure out in terms of this whole
right.
thing.
I don't know. I've heard the name Creamline a few times as well lately, and it must be something growing or something happening, but I don't know. I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, okay.
So I know is there's a store in Chelsea Market called Creamline.
Okay. Now, so let me ask you just offhand, with these, 10 family farms, if I went to the store to buy milk, would I necessarily even buy their milk?
No, it would be called Hudson Valley Fresh. It's a brand of milk called Hudson Valley Fresh. And
oh,
it's
okay.
available in the city. Yeah, yeah. But it's made up of these 10 farms. So when we order our milk, you know, we speak to this lovely lady who's one of her cows or, you know, part of our milk, and she takes care of the ordering, and then someone else, you know, they're all kind of working together to create this product.
So, and I'm just curious, in terms of that, does the fact whether you're getting it from one farm or another farm, would it ever make a difference in terms of taste when you're making
ice cream?
If it's
from farm A or farm B?
Yeah.
I don't know. I believe they take it all and blend it together, so you're all getting the same product. It doesn't change it from, you know, who delivered on Monday or Tuesday. One thing that's interesting is it only takes literally from the time the cow is milked till the time we get it into our kitchen, it's only 36 hours. So it's a very, very quick turnaround. The milk is very lightly pasteurized. It doesn't last for a month in your fridge the way other milk when you see the words ultra pasteurized on milk, that means it's been heat, you know, treated with high heat, and basically all the enzymes and all the good things in milk have been boiled out of it, and that's why it'll stay seemingly fresh for a long time. It's not just that boxed Parmalat milk that you can sit in your shelf for months and months and months. You can actually leave, you know, normal brands of milk that are ultra-pasteurized, and even though the expiration date will expire, it will still hold the same. It'll stay the same because for I don't know how long, but quite a while, because it's been ultra-pasteurized. So the milk we buy is just very lightly pasteurized, which means all of the enzymes and all the nutrients are still in there. So that's part of the reason why it tastes great. It still has that great milky flavor, and it's why it's worth going and trying to find Hudson Valley Fresh milk.
Do you ever use milk that's not homogenized?
Homogenized meaning they from these 10 farms and mixed it together?
No, I mean of any of the 10 farms you're using, do any of them have milk that's not homogenized?
With the cream on top and
that.
No.
Okay.
We have to separate. We buy cream for our, you know, part of the recipe that needs cream, and then we buy milk. So no, that's a beautiful thing when you can get milk with an inch of cream on top.
Yeah.
Hard to find.
Just picked up some.
Good old days.
Just picked up some today at the farmer's market.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, they would drop it off at our house and put it in a little metal box outside the door. You know, we'd have that. That was good.
Yeah. So, well, I guess if you go to greenfieldicecream.com, I saw that there's a locator to find out where you can buy the ice cream. Thank goodness.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, I noticed because the place that I get my fruits and vegetables, Valentino.
Oh, yeah, they carry it.
They carry it. And, yeah, I mean, this is a place like, you know, it's like the turnover on fruit and vegetables is just like constant. And what they do, they get all, well, not all, as much as they can get local, they do. So they have things in there, like I went, oh, I never heard of this brand of milk. I never heard of this, you know. And that's what they tend to do. So I guess they're getting Greenfield because it's, you know, local.
Yep. Yes. Well, you're very lucky to live near a good market like that.
Yes, I am. So, okay, I'm going to let you get back to the game. Is that it?
Thank you.
Soccer
game? Yes, about my daughter's volleyball game.
Oh, the volleyball game. Yeah. I'm over here dealing with a Queens College women's basketball game that's right now is they're winning and it's the final. So I'm hoping that they win so
yeah.
we can celebrate.
Good. Me too.
Anyway.
I hope we do well too.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for sharing all the information.
Thank you, Meryl.
And I can write all about this and,
okay.
you know, taste it and gobble it down. How much can you
all right.
possibly eat? I'll try not to freak out.
Oh, go for broke. Just go crazy.
Yeah, okay.
You only live once.
That's what I say. Oh, that's great. Have a good day, and thanks again for calling in.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. Well, I want to go back to the game here with the Queens College game. I think it's the final quarter, I guess. Let's see. It's the final quarter. The tournament, and so I want to go and continue watching it, so I'm going to end this now. So everybody have a great day, evening, or whatever that you're listening to this, if you haven't listened to this yet. Okay, here we go.